When you talked about the new consciousness arising, even as the old is getting louder in the world, can that also be on an individual basis? I find the stronger presence gets in this room, form, the more dramatic the pain body gets when it arises. Could you talk a little about this? Yes, I've encountered this quite often, that as presence arises, you experience your pain body more acutely, more, almost it feels sometimes as if it came up all at once. And of course, the pain body is trying to sabotage presence. We are not making the pain body into an enemy, but this is what the pain body tries to do. So you simply see that this is what it tries to do. So it will create, it can be such, so much so that I'm tempted to say almost that it can be to such an extreme that it looks as if you were being faced with your entire karma all at once. But ultimately, it comes up to sabotage, but the fact that it comes up is the opportunity for it to rise up into the light of consciousness and be transmuted there. So it is right and good that it should come up, because there is sufficient presence, although it tries to sabotage presence. There is enough presence in you to meet it in that state of attention and allowing. And that's an accelerated transmutation that many people now experience, especially those people in whom presence is arising very quickly, who come into contact with this or other teachings that in slightly different ways point to the same. So as presence arises, the transmutation of all that accumulated pain also accelerates. So that you are right, there is an equivalent movement, what you see in the outer world, the old and the new, the old becoming more mad, even as the new arises, to the extent that you know how usually television expresses only the old consciousness, with relatively rare that it anything new comes through that is a manifestation of the liberation from mind. To the extent that this teaching was on national television in Canada in the evening news for 3 minutes. All the other news were, of course, about the violence in the Middle East and this and there and the killings there and the uprisings there. And suddenly there was, there's this teacher here. How did this get into the news? And then I hadn't realized how closely the two go together. This would have been inconceivable even a couple of years ago to have something. This isn't news. I've always been saying this is underground. This is happening underground. It's not news. And yet it's appearing even in the media. That it filters through here and there. Of course, they had to have a little thing to make it appear as if it were newsworthy. And they said, who is this teacher who stills the minds of the rich and famous? Oh, that's news. But the producer actually knew what he was doing. And he knew that he needed that little thing to get it in there. Otherwise, His boss wouldn't have allowed it in, so he had to get this in, and it got in. So it's there. It's no longer totally underground. And then the equivalent thing within human beings, the madness is still there, even as the new arises. And at times, the wave of madness, which is both mind identification and the amplified mind through the pain body, can come in very powerful waves, and you can feel, oh! And yet, there is a reason why this is happening. The transmutation is accelerating. It has to come up into the light of presence. The pain body cannot be transmuted if it doesn't come up into the light of presence. Now, I talk about the pain body as if it were an entity and it's a perspective on it. The pain body really wants to sabotage it to get food back from your mind. It wants to take your mind over again, so it comes up very strongly. But it doesn't know that there is a greater, larger reason why it's coming up, and that is because it needs to become transmuted. And perhaps deep down it wants to become transmuted. Trying to sabotage really is wanting to dissolve, wanting to become dissolved into consciousness. So you're faced sometimes with waves of pain or madness in your life, and just, well, what can you do? Just be there, if you can, and watch that. And occasionally you will get lost in it. That's part of it too. And then you wake up out of it again. Oh, and perhaps next time, a witnessing presence remains even as the wave sweeps through you. And if there is a witnessing presence, even if only in the background, the wave will move through more quickly. If there's no witnessing presence, it gets lodged in here and it can hang on. Through witnessing presence, the pain body comes up, perhaps very strongly, and you will experience it as an energy movement through you, which you may even shake with anger or fear. As that happens, the body may shake as this energy comes up, and you meet it in the state of acceptance and surrender. There's the fear, and you allow it to happen, allow it to be, even as the body shakes. One could say you are suffering, if you can even call that suffering, because if there's an observing presence, it's just pain. So you're getting through the end of suffering. Are you still suffering? A little bit. And you suffer consciously by allowing that pain movement to be there. You suffer. It's okay. That's enormous. Be powerful to bring that acceptance into the suffering. And then it's not suffering anymore. It's simply pain. Suffering requires an entity, a me, with a story, with mind activity around it, and a story around it. A suffering entity. But now you realize the pain body is simply energy movement. Non-personal. Nobody's. It's not you. So that's the. So when it comes, in those of you in whom it comes strongly, welcome it as it comes. If you lose yourself in it, it takes you over. Okay. That was it. And next time, see if you can be there as it arises and accept it. Is it beneficial to the practice of being present to live in an ashram or monastery? If so, are there any you recommend? Well, I visited quite a few. And everywhere they seem to be struggling with the same things, whether it's in the monastery or in the outside world. They're having the same conflicts and the same struggles in the utopian communities. And you look underneath the surface, and you find it's the same as the board meeting in the corporation when they get together. So you can go to a monastery or ashram realizing it's fine, you can surrender there, or you can surrender in everyday life as a householder, surrender there. It doesn't really matter where you surrender. Of course, there are certain monasteries or groups where people come together in order to be present with varying degrees of success. It helps to be with people who are also going through this transformation, entering presence, sangha, to have a community. It doesn't necessarily have to be a place where you live. But to get together occasionally in the state of presence, either in stillness or listen to a talk that comes out of presence and then go into stillness, that can be helpful. Often people ask me, when are you going to have your center? And I said, well, it may be happening. It hasn't happened yet. Who knows? In any kind of organization, ashram, whatever it may be, you will find, unless the people are already free, they will bring in their mind structures. Even if their reason for being there is freedom, they still carry with them the mind structures. And there have been many examples of utopian communities who degenerated very quickly into the same madness that you see in the outside world. Their intentions were good. The whole of communism, the intentions were good behind it. Equality, justice, no ownership, wonderful. But they thought the answers were in some organizational structure. Change that, not realizing whatever you create out of your state of consciousness is a reflection of that state of consciousness, and they hadn't looked at that. So communism, in order to achieve a better world, a future projection, first they had to kill about 10 million people in their own countries. In order to get their future, salvation was in the future. And the moment, the now, was a means to getting there. And if the now is a means to getting to a mental projection of future, the now becomes hell. And you can do that to yourself on a personal level, or you can do it collectively, if you as a group need to get to a future projection. So, I would recommend that you visit some monasteries and see how it goes. Visit, see how you feel there. Buddhist, whatever it may be, Hindu, Buddhist, Christian. Am I ever going to have a center? I don't know. What's it going to be like? I don't. Is it going to generate into egoic madness? Who knows? Surrender wherever you are. Wherever you are, now is the right place for your practice of surrender. That is the primordial truth. Not seek a situation that is more conducive to surrender. Seek a situation that is more conducive. It may change. Your external situation is more likely to change if you surrender now. If presence arises now, then it's more likely to change. But to say the external change is a prerequisite for my practice, that is a fallacy. Wherever you are, whatever condition, whatever state, surrender to that. No demand that this moment should be different, that this place should be different. A total alignment with what is. And then, who knows, perhaps suddenly an ashram grows around you before you know it, especially in India. This is easier to happen in India. You just need to sit under a tree, and if you are present and surrendered, of course there are many who pretend also, I know that. There are many who pretend because it's a living. They couldn't do that in the West, because whether you're real or not real, they won't recognize you. But here, if you sit under a tree or in a cave, somebody will find you. And somebody will know that. Be drawn to you, to the state of consciousness that you embody, and they'll come with some food. And then 2 years later, somebody else will come. And then two more, and then some more people sitting under trees around you. And then before you know it, there's a little ashram. All that doesn't happen in the West, it's beautiful, it's unstructured. There's nobody saying, okay, let's have a planning committee. You are in charge of that, you are in charge of that. Now let's go and do it. Whereas here's organically, it suddenly comes into being. And that's beautiful. Less egoic intervention, not that some egos will get in there too, of course they will. And then if you're unlucky, a Western person will come and write a book about you. And then they'll transport you to the West, and then where the problems start. I'm joking a little. It is wonderful that so much of the essence of the spirituality of this country has spread now throughout the world. Beautiful phenomenon. This, like, India has been this, like a seed with, it's one of these seeds you blow and all the seeds go. And that's happened fairly recently. All, and very quickly, and that's part of that transformation, that ancient wisdom that was there, had been there for thousands of years, now it's flowing there, and it's still the same, and yet there's enormous intensity to it now because of the evolutionary stage that we are at on the planet. One could almost say all those thousands of years were a preparation, a getting ready for this evolutionary transformation on the planet. And it's, we have come a long way in just half a century. I read recently, I picked up Paul Brunton's book, In Search of Secret India, through which Ramana Maharshi became known in the West. And in the introduction, he's trying very hard to convince the reader that India has something to offer to the West. At what was maybe 1930 or whenever it was written. Trying to convince that it's something valuable. And now, you don't need convincing anymore. Nobody needs convincing anymore. And then we have this strange phenomenon, which is very recent. Western spiritual teachers. Unheard of. That they haven't existed since the Middle Ages. The last spiritual teachers were the Christian mystics in Europe. And after that, all you had was institutionalized religion, mind stuff. Of course, maybe a few accidental realizations here and there. But they were quickly killed or shut away. And now it's they're appearing everywhere. It's Western spiritual teachers. In the West, it's still, you can't, spiritual teacher to many is a meaningless term. What do you do for a living? Spiritual. What's that? And yet it's growing. So, and that's, for many of them, the seed was here. They were seeded here. This teacher, to this form, it happened accidentally, but after that, I was drawn to certain expressions of Indian spirituality through Ramana Maharshi and Krishnamurti, and I realized through them what had happened to me. And there was a strong, immediate sense of connected, deep connectedness, if not to say oneness. So then people asked me often, have you been to India? And then they were surprised when I said, no, I've never been to India. What? You haven't been to India? And you are a spiritual teacher? And I said, I carry India in here because India represents the inner dimension and the West represents the outer, one could say. And so I always felt drawn to that. I never felt really, not after the transformation, that I feel like a Westerner. India is the inner. Not that it does not manifest also human madness that is universal on the planet. Of course you have manifestations of human madness in different forms here. That is universal. And yet, it's the cradle of the transformation of consciousness. Attention to the resistance of the present, if powerful enough, will dissolve that resistance and a state of presence will emerge. What will dissolve the central core of the self so that it doesn't create endless waves of resistance? Can we explore the nature of the realization that is necessary? What will dissolve the central core of self so that it doesn't create endless waves of resistance? What is the central core of self? The mind structures, the mind movements that are the mental image of me with its accumulated content, plus the pain body, the two in cooperation form the central core of self. So what will dissolve that? Of course, that's easy. Surrender. Only now. Surrender. It's too easy, isn't it? It's too simple. Surrender to whatever form this moment takes. Then the self cannot survive in the state of surrender to what is. It's as simple as that. The pain body cannot renew itself when you surrender to the fact that there is a pain body. And so surrender, I'm not telling you from now on you need to be in continuous surrender for 24 hours a day. Oh no. It's not that difficult. It's only this moment that you need to surrender to. Not just this. Whatever form this takes, it's always this. And that you meet in and through surrender. That you can do. You can't surrender for 24 hours a day. That's a problem. But just this. It's only now. And so the egoic self nor the pain body can survive in surrender. And then the question may arise, well, how long is it going to take before the central core of self and my pain body have dissolved? And that question implies that surrender is not yet complete. Is this moment that bad that you need to get to a future one where you achieve a certain state? To realize the goodness and depth that is already here. And only through surrender you realize that. Who you are already. You are greater than in your wildest egoic dreams you could ever be. You are already greater than you could ever be, even if the wildest egoic dreams of achievement became realized. Now, already, you are that. And you're not going to be closer to God at some future point than you are now. And God is yourself, the deepest level of your being. You are not going to get closer than you are now. You're already so close that you're not even two. Nor is anybody closer than you are to God. If you want to be in silence for the rest of the day, feel free to do so. Tomorrow you will do your own thing or do nothing. We may have a complete day of silence on Thursday. In the meantime, every moment is now, and no matter where you go or what you do, whether you stay here tomorrow in silence or go out and experience this or that, see this or that, don't walk around as a heavy person, just a field of presence, and perceive through that beautiful stillness that is there in you. If you go somewhere, perceive the multiplicity of forms, the beauty of it. Be as much free of mental labeling as possible. Surrendered to this moment.